Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
And two very special guests in studio. I have to say that to you, Alan Cawley, because, you know, you get sensitive.
No, one special guest.
One special guest.
I've no problems with that, Damien.
Former Irish rugby international, Alison Miller. Does it sound... How long did it sound odd to hear yourself described as Irish rugby international, let alone now being introduced as former Irish rugby international?
Well, to be honest, since I announced it, I've been flat out in school, so I haven't got a whole lot of time to think about it, really, but I'm sure that'll sink in the next few weeks and be more realistic.
Is it a decision you had made a couple of weeks back, or is it a decision that you've made since the Wales game?
No, it was pre-planned. Okay. So I had decided before the Six Nations campaign that would be my last year. So regardless of how we would have done, if we'd won the Six Nations, won a Grand Slam, I still would have been walking away after it.
And why now?
It's my 10th Six Nations. And I suppose in the back of my head last year, I'd been kind of thinking, you know, of last year's Six Nations that I might step away after last year's, but I only, I suppose, got a game in 3 minutes. So that plan... I suppose went away, so I decided to go and give it another year, and I'm glad I did.
Now, we have spoken, and only a couple of weeks back we would have played the interview in this programme that you and I did in advance of, was it the Italy game? I can't remember. The games have all blended into one, whichever one of the Six Nations games, about the injury and having come back from the injury. But how immediately after suffering the injury last year in Donnybrook did you make up your mind, I'm not done and I will be back, and maybe set this year's Six Nations as the swan song?
It was definitely when I broke it and I was in that hospital bed, I said, no, that's it. It's just the immense pain that you're in. You cannot see yourself playing a physical sport again. So it was really only when I started getting back walking and jogging that I decided, oh, I can actually do this. But definitely at that moment, 2 or 3 weeks after, I thought I wouldn't play again. And the pain, it's just, it was, in a way, it was so all-consuming, the pain, you weren't really thinking of anything else.
But the thing that struck me from listening to you speak about it was it, in a way, the more people wrote you off and said, you know, that's you done, did it kind of steal something in you to say, I'm going to show the lot of you?
Not only
am I done, but I'm going to bounce back to be as good as I was.
Yeah, it probably did subconsciously. Like, I didn't do it on purpose and go, I'm going to prove everyone wrong. But subconsciously, maybe, if you're hearing this all the time, yeah, you do want to prove them wrong. And it's funny because once I decided to go back and get back and try and get back in that green jersey, I had no doubt that I would get back. Mm. Which, you know, I just looked at it more. I didn't think, oh, this is a terrible injury. This is a really injury. People maybe don't get back. I just saw it as an injury, like any other injury, like if you'd pulled your hamstring or if you'd broken your arm, that you could get back from it. I just thought about doing the rehab every day, and that's what I did.
Just give us the brief summary of exactly, are you happy enough to talk about the injury?
Oh, yeah.
Give us the brief summary of what it was. Like, you can, there's breaking your leg or your ankle, and then there's doing it in style, and you did it in style.
Yeah, so I broke the tib and the fib and did a compound fracture, so triple whammy.
And in the immediacy of that happening, is it the pain that makes you know I'm in trouble here, or is it the reaction of people around you?
Oh, it was the pain. I was screaming, and like, I wouldn't go down easily. I wouldn't, well, some people might laugh, I wouldn't be dramatic on the pitch.
there are former teammates listening in are laughing at that as we speak.
Not on the pitch though. Well, maybe off the pitch, but not on the pitch. I wouldn't be dramatic. I'd have a high pain threshold. It'd be tough. So the pain, and also it felt like it was going the wrong way.
Okay.
So that feeling, I didn't look at it because I'm a fainter. So I would
you
just
might
faint.
Have been better off.
I actually probably would have been better off if I just had been out cold. Yeah, that feeling and that pain, and oh, I've never experienced pain like that, and I hope I never will.
We'll talk much more about your career and everything else, but is it fair to say, for someone who took up rugby in college, having gone through a GA career, having gone through an athletics career, like, this has exceeded, I would imagine, any expectation you would have had?
Yeah, I took it up, funnily enough, my dad died unexpectedly in the summer of 2006. When I went back to college, I was kind of, it was really sad, obviously, all over the place. And I actually went to join rugby just kind of a bit of a distraction, something different. And I never thought that I would go on and play for Ireland, especially for 10 seasons.
Mm. So happy memories. We, Alan and I, we shared some special nights in Ashburn in the Roadcaster.
We did.
You might have noticed our big bright orange bus in the corner of the pitch. But
they were great nights.
Oh, brilliant team. Like, just a great group of people to be involved in.
It was about 2 or 3 years we covered it forward.
Well, we were there the year. It's all down to us. Michael Corcoran claims all the credit for the Grand Slam because I think that was, we started that year, but like just. And it's slightly different in Donnybrook because there was kind of like a beautiful craziness out in Ashburn because, you know, you parked your car on the back pitch and, you know, you met all the family and friends. It's not quite the same. Like, it's great atmosphere in Donnybrook, but like that team, say, 2013, 2015, through to the World Cup in 2017, like that's just a phenomenal group of people, let alone a great team that did so much on the field.
Yeah, it's funny. I was at Nora Stapleton's wedding at Christmas and my boyfriend Alan actually, you know, you're sitting at the table with all these girls and he's like, Alison, they are like, you know, he knows them well, but just, it was the first time I suppose a lot of us had been back together in a setting like that. And he was like, they are just an incredible bunch of strong women like that, you know. I can't say take no shit. I suppose I'm
said
it.
Well, you said it now.
Just said it.
It's like, out. Someone
some children listening. Yeah. And my children in school don't say that word.
You're a school teacher.
Yeah, I know. They'll be saying that to me tomorrow now. But they didn't. And they were strong-minded. They were resilient. They had this, you know, we had this unbelievable bond, I suppose. But just strong women, just, you know, how can you even describe what a strong woman is? But you just didn't get in their way, and so much interesting personalities together that came together to make an unbelievable resolve, an unbelievable team that went out and did special things.
Quite a cross section as well. We could tell some stories, but certainly not at 7:09.
Completely cross section, which was the great thing. Like, there's people, you know, they're so different that you might not be like. In other walks of life, you might not be in the same each other's company or friends, but that was what it made it so special. Everyone was so different.
What's the last 24 hours been like? Obviously, you took to Twitter, as most people do nowadays, to make the announcement, but had you, I presume you told friends, you told former teammates and stuff before that, or did you just rip the plaster off in one go?
Being a competitive person, I didn't tell too many people because, you know, you want to get your place, and I suppose, I don't know, I thought maybe if I told many people, they might want, like, you know, selection might go against you, try to build for the future or whatever. You know, look, you have to. I told, obviously, my family knew and a few close friends, but not too many people, really. I didn't.
Okay. We've said it time and time again, it is the toughest decision, at least like for any sports person, to be able to make the decision on your own terms to say, I'm going to go, I'm going to walk away, particularly when you still have something that you could offer rather than. I think someone else ended for you.
If anything makes it easier, the fact that you go out at the top slightly.
Yeah.
I think that makes it a little bit easier, but it is the hardest thing. And I suppose you spoke there about the bond you had with the girls, Alison, and trying to replicate all that now in the next few years. I'm not sure who's going to fill that void for you, but that's probably the hardest thing.
On that positive note.
Well, that's the truth of
it.
That
is, yeah.
Well, I found Damien to try and replace my void.
Well, the girls are all slagging me, of course, you know. I'm getting married to my boyfriend, Alan, and they're all like, what is he going to do when he has you around all the time? He's going to be driven mad, but no, he's really lucky to have me around now.
Yeah. God,
you're dead right, Alison. You're dead right.
Yeah. Although, like, he's doing Ironman, so that's just, you know, he's out for 3 hours or 4 hours on a bike, so maybe he's trying to run away from me. I don't know.
I tell my wife I'm going to do a radio program. No, and she doesn't listen. I just sit in the car down the road just for a bit of peace and quiet. We will chat much more. 51552. We're going to reflect more on Ali's career and everything else. And feel free to chip in, make a bit of sense of the soccer conversation that's about to take fair.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. This is Damien O'Mara in for Hugh Cahill this evening. Alan Cawley is alongside me, and our guest of honour for the evening, Alan, you won't be in mind, is Alison Miller, 24 hours on from her announcing her international retirement. Just looking at it, 23 tries, which is hard to say for a Northsider, in 47 caps, considering how late you came to the game. Does your rugby career eclipse everything else that you achieved in sport?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I suppose it was like I played a little bit of football for Laois and I did athletics, and that was obviously I was younger. So obviously I played for 10 seasons. So it definitely eclipsed in terms of you playing at the world level in World Cups and World Series, you know, Six Nations and winning and playing in huge stadiums in front of thousands of people. Definitely eclipsed, yeah, the other sporting moments.
How quickly, once you took it up in college, did you think to yourself, Jesus, I've got something here?
I just initially loved the freedom and the physicality of the game, and the coach in college, Mick, said to me, he actually tweeted me the other night saying, I remember telling you that you could play for Ireland, but if you stuck with it. So I suppose he kind of planted the seed in my head. But I started playing rugby in Port Laois, which we were the lowest division you could play rugby in the country at the time. So I was scoring loads of tries and playing really well. But I suppose if anyone was to say anything, they'd probably say, oh, well, look, it's the lowest level you can play. So
back to the soccer chat we've just been
having. So yeah. Look, is she going to produce those tries or that level of ability at a higher level? And I suppose even my coach at the time used to say, oh, you won't be able to do that now at the higher level. Don't do that. Mm. And then we went up to a higher level and I'm still doing that. It wasn't at all plain sailing, I suppose. My first year playing for Port Laois, the coach said you should go for Leinster trials to think you could really make it. And I went and cut a long story short, I didn't even make the extended squad. And I knew that day on those 2 weekends I was better than those girls there, but I don't know, it must have been closed shop or whatever it was at the time, or I wasn't in a high enough division club, or I was from a country club, but I knew I was good enough then. And lucky enough, there was Connacht trials and I live in Laois and I travelled up and down and I made it up there, and I suppose I was seen by the Irish coach and got invited into the squad then.
Do you revel in having an obstacle in front of you?
Like, I suppose I've always seen myself as a little bit of an underdog. Yeah. You know, I like the underdog.
And you channel that?
Yeah, and I suppose I've always had that. I suppose, and it's very common when you hear sports people come and talk out of the self-doubt that they had. I was always fueled with self-doubt from the word go. And it's funny because every game that I ever picked for, I never thought I was going to be picked for. And I know people say, oh, you couldn't have. My poor boyfriend for 10 years used to have to listen to me going, oh, jeez, I don't think I'm going to be picked for this game. Oh, I'm really worried I won't be selected. And he goes, every single time he got picked, but genuinely every single time that we had a training session before, you know, training sessions, weeks before sessions, I felt I had to go out and prove myself every single session, every time. And I suppose that was what made me successful when I think back. And I suppose it's funny because I believed in my ability.
It's funny you say the self-doubt thing, because that surprised me, because I was going to ask you when you touched on you were doing really well in the early part of your career, but it was at a lower level. I was going to ask you, did you always feel though, even you were doing so well and it was at a lower level, if I get my opportunity at the higher level, I'll be able to perform as well? Because I'm looking at, obviously we can relate it back to the football lads and people talking about players at lower leagues. And I feel a lot of them could step up once they get the opportunity. Like that young lad, Jack Byrne, I have no doubt in my mind that if he was to play Saturday, he wouldn't look out of place whatsoever if he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose it's in my personality to be a doubter and not to be confident. And I suppose I give off the impression of being so self-confident. And everyone is like, oh, I never thought that about you, because you've always seemed confident. But I always doubt. But it's funny, I doubted that I would get picked, but once I was on that field and once I was in the green jersey and once I was looking at my opposite winger or whoever it was, I believed then, once I was on the pitch. And it's funny, there was a doubt then whether when I was maybe going through a phase where I was a little bit more confident than normal, I believed in my ability, but then I would doubt that I could produce the goods on the day in that 80 minutes.
But even I'm just brought up the 2013 Six Nations Championship. You score a hat trick of tries against England in Ashburn on what was it? Which round? You know, early enough in
the second
round of the championship.
Second game, yeah.
So then it rolls into playing Scotland the following round. Are you still dreading conversations with Philip Doyle the week of that, thinking, are you saying to yourself, surely you're saying to yourself, I scored a hat-trick of tries against England, I'm probably okay here?
Well, I remember I think I knocked on at one stage in the game and I was like, I came off the pitch and I was saying to my boyfriend, God, oh no, I knocked on a terrible ball. He was like, are you actually serious?
You tell your boyfriend an awful lot.
He was a rugby player. So, and he was actually a great part of my development as a rugby player, because when I first started going out with him, he had played for Carlow in the AL Division 1. He played with some great players down over the years. I'm not sure if anyone have heard of Melly. He was a New Zealander, but he was an unbelievable player. And
How basic was your knowledge of rugby?
It was very basic, to say the least. I was athletically, I suppose, maybe gifted. I played maybe 6 months in WIT in my last year of college. Then I joined... no disrespect to the club, but at that division, the knowledge, the skill level, the experience of other players is all limited. So, you know, I didn't know stuff that I should have known going into my first Irish camps. But what I was, I never wanted to look stupid. So I always made sure I did my homework, okay, and I learned quick. So I used to sit down with him, we'd watch games, and I would like, okay,
and study
the game, study the wingers, study the other players, and just watching rugby at home all the time.
When we go through that period of a Grand Slam in 2013, a championship in 2015, the World Cup campaign in 2017, like, we didn't appreciate at the time how halcyon those days were in terms of, like, you look at what's gone on the last couple of years, that you must reflect on that period with so much pride and so much honour.
It's only now, and I suppose I remember Sonia O'Sullivan saying this, she said a talk, that you can only appreciate what you've achieved when you've actually stopped. Because when once you're playing, you're always thinking the next thing, the next game, the next training session. And you have to be like that as an athlete. You can't really ever look back, or you're not driving yourself to be the best it can be. But yeah, as I said earlier, it was a special group of girls. It was a special group of the management were special. There were such nice touches all the way, that all those small little things that they did. Even I was talking to Andy Weir, the bag man, he had such beautiful touches, like, it's made you feel really important.
It's amazing,
the team,
the amount of people that talk about, like, Philip Doyle. There's kind of a feeling amongst the group that Philip Doyle Goose doesn't get the credit he deserved, but I have heard so many people talk about Andy Weir over the years in terms of,
was he the kit man?
Yeah, and you
it's
know
it's amazing how people get on so well with kitman.
There actually is no kitman anymore in the women's team. It was something that they decided wasn't needed, which I thought was such a pity, because he added so much. And obviously Philip Doyle was an unbelievable coach, Greg McWilliams, Ross O'Callaghan, the S&C, Gemma Crowley, the manager, everyone that worked. They were a special group of people that really drove us. We didn't need to be driven, we were driven ourselves as well. But it's funny what you remember, and it's funny the small little things that make you feel important, or whatever it is, as an athlete. Those little touches, you know, they're tiny. And I suppose if you said to someone, oh, that doesn't really make a difference, they do. They make a huge difference. So it's funny, yeah, that those things are really important.
When you reflect then on your career, you know, is it Caravaggio and winning the Grand Slam that you go back to? Is it Marcoussi that day against New Zealand, or...
I think they're all part of each other, because in 2013 we won that Grand Slam and we bet England for the first time, and we bet France at the time for the second time, and then we went obviously Caravaggio to win by 3 points. But it was the same majority of the same squad then that went on to you know, beat New Zealand in that World Cup in 2014. So it was like, they're both really, when people ask, I can't actually distinguish which I think was more important, or yeah, they were both part of each other, if that makes sense. Nearly.
Did you enjoy the limelight?
At the
moment when people were talking about you being amongst the best wingers in the world, and
now or
the
then?
End, then.
Oh, it's funny.
Would you have been allowed to get big headed in any way, shape, or form?
No, and I would never let myself, and I would never, I suppose, because of that self doubt, I never believed it really. And I was always. I suppose I always felt like I was going to be caught out. Like, I was, next game, maybe I'm caught out. I won't be as good as they think. And it's a funny mentality, but that was my mentality.
Does that just manifest itself in sport?
Or yeah.
Are you like...
Oh, yeah. Like,
do you march down the corridors in work, like, come and take me on, you know, rather than, you know, is that something you needed on the field of play?
What do you mean now?
Just that self-doubt. Like, is that something that you needed to think?
I certainly never wanted it. And I didn't enjoy it, because you would worry when you didn't need to worry, and you think back that you probably wasted energy, but at the same time it was my friend then, and I welcomed it. Yeah.
Did you ever speak to any of the girls in the squad, because you said you had that close bond with them, or any of the management about that?
Not particularly. Maybe some of them were aware of it, but it's a really common thing in sports people, and you don't realise till they retire and tell you. But in the latter years, I started working with Kira Losty, who's a sports psychologist, and she had actually lectured me in college. And I remember I was going through a difficult phase, and she kind of sometimes, then it was great to know that, like, the feelings that and the thoughts that you were having were normal, in a sense that other athletes would experience them as well. You just think, I used to be so nervous before games that people would say, "Are you really excited about the game?" And I used to be like, just kind of lie and go, yeah, I can't wait. But in my head, I would be so nervous. And you'd be on the way on the bus and you'd look out at someone going through a city and you look at someone in a coffee shop and you'd be like, oh, I wish I was that person. Mm-hmm. Just, and I remember Paul O'Connell saying something, I think it was Paul O'Connell, don't quote me on it, saying something similar, that he'd be that nervous, or that when you're on the way to the bus that you'd want to be anywhere else, but then it was completely different once you got on the pitch. I never felt like that on the pitch.
We talk, and even I did an interview last week with Lindsay Peat for the TV coverage before the Wales game, and we can't consistently go back and talk about the retirements of, you know, Coughlin, Cantwell, Spence, Stapledon, and the absence of Neve Briggs, that we just need to move on and have faith in the new young squad. Are you confident about the future of the women's game, or does it worry or concern you where we're at and the support structure that possibly is in place for the 15s?
Look,
I fully appreciate you're a week out of the system, that it can be hard to fully articulate.
Yeah, and I suppose it's probably a conversation for another night, what needs to be done. But I suppose I am confident in the players that are there. And you know what? As I said to them after the England game, there's been really bad days, like, you know, before this. And there might be more bad days, but it's about sticking together. And personally, as a player, I worked incredibly hard. I suppose I had some natural ability, but I worked so hard. I went and I looked for the extras all the time. I worked with Joey Carberry Sr. I went with him very early on to improve my pass, and I dragged my boyfriend to the rugby club on nights where it was raining. I worked with Shane McCormick, who's Phil Healy's coach, to improve my speed. I literally did everything that I could. I wanted to be the best player that I could be. So and I said this to one of the girls, if every player has that mentality and you come together collectively, it doesn't, like, I am a firm believer in that you can beat anyone with that mentality. And I know, not to go part back to the good times, but we bet teams we probably shouldn't have, because we believed we could beat them. We had confidence, and you get confidence from all the hard work you do. That's where you get your confidence from, knowing what you've put in.
We're going to get you a present, and we decided that, you know, RTE has to be careful how we spend our cash. So, you know, so we set up a WhatsApp group this morning called the Ali Miller All-Stars. Right?
Oh,
no, I have, genuinely, look, I can show you my phone, right? So stick on your headphones.
Okay.
Because we were in touch with some of that brilliant team from, 2013, 2015. And there was a consensus that perhaps you don't appreciate how good you are and might not appreciate how special you are. So have a listen to this.
Chip over the top into the wide open spaces. The bounce is kind for Briggs, who'll have a go. Breaks the first tackle. Now then, where's the support? She gets it from Alison Miller. Miller, the wide outside. Miller goes for the try line. It's a brilliant try for the Irish. And that is the try that takes the Emerald Green into the lead over the Black Ferns.
She was kicking it straight on the ball, set up beautifully for Briggs in the back. And then it was all to do on the outside for the winger.
Hey Ali, Briggsy here. I just want to wish you the very best of luck. I'm so proud to call you my teammate, but I'm so much prouder to have you as my friend. My favourite memory of you is one from the very start, when we both played our first game together in IIT, and you're on the wing and they call in for a scrum and you start running in towards the middle of it. And I was like, where are you going? You're like, I've no idea. And we both fell around the place laughing. And even then, you had the clue of the laws. You still don't, probably, but it was so obvious you were a superstar. And I'm so proud to have played with you.
Hey, it's Bax here. I think everyone will agree that if you can tackle Ali Miller with her insane leg drive and come out the other side with no black eyes, then you can tackle anybody in the world. Ali, you're one of rugby's legends and you're going to be greatly missed within Irish rugby. All the best in your retirement.
Hey Ali, it's Lynn Cantwell here. I want to wish you the best in your next chapter and say thank you for every second you've committed to Ireland's 7s and 15s team. Individual talent, personality and ability is a massive factor in what makes wingers excellent. You had all of this and will forever be remembered for your untamable fire, your lightning speed and of course your bonkers outlook in life. Good luck, Miller.
Hey Ali, Spence here. Just want to say a huge congratulations on a superb career. Always a huge privilege to play with you on the pitch and an absolute nightmare to tackle you in training. From my first roommate, the noisy baby elephant, getting up in the middle of the night, I don't know how many times to pee, to the one making people be skivvies, to making your tea. Just want to say you are a joy to play with and be around camps with. Best of luck for the future.
Hi Ali, Goose here. Don't worry, I'm not going to give out. But listen, congrats on an absolute stellar career. What you brought to the green jerseys is simply irreplaceable, to be fair. Your hat-trick versus England in 2013, going for the Grand Slam, is a great personal memory for me. And will the country ever forget the great try against the All Blacks, knocking them out of the 2014 World Cup? But that was on the pitch. As for off, You drove for the highest standards within the squad always, unforgiving in the drive to ever get better. You will be sadly missed, Ali. But on a funny note, in team meetings, I'll always miss that glazed look upon your face. What on earth are you talking about, Goose? Cheers, Ali. Have a good one.
Fiona Coughlin here, former teammate of Ali the Miller. I remember Ali first came into the squad. She was very quiet, unassuming. It didn't take her too long then to settle in, and she really became a life and soul of the team and on and off the pitch. She'll obviously be well remembered for her try-scoring abilities, but if it wasn't for her defence in that first game against Wales in the Grand Slam year, we wouldn't be talking about Grand Slams, and I suppose women's rugby mightn't be where it is if it wasn't for Ali Miller's foot and what that did in stopping Wales get a try. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure training, well, not actually training with her because she used to burn me every time, but playing alongside her and having her as a teammate. I hope this isn't the last we see her playing rugby. Hopefully there might be a Babas jersey there for her, but just want to wish her all the best in the next step of her life, St. Gally, and she'll long be not just a teammate but a friend.
Hi Mila, it's Sinan Opal here. I laughed out loud when I saw Hugh Cahill's tweet that you can start working then that walk now that you've retired. Congratulations on one hell of a playing career. Thanks for all you've done for women's rugby in this country and for inspiring the next generation. You've been one of my best pals at trainings, camps, on the tours with sevens and 15s around the world. I'll always remember that day I met you in Ashburn when I was in the sevens development and you were headlining papers with your constant hat tricks with the senior team. So the first time we roomed together in France and you wouldn't stop talking. Anyway, one hell of an innings, my friend. You're a true Irish rugby legend, world class on and off the pitch. Enjoy the other side.
Hi, Grace Davitt here. When Ali came into the Irish squad, she was such a natural athlete. She played Gaelic, you know, she had that gymnastic background, but she was quite raw and new to rugby. But we taught her the moves, and you know, with all the hard work she's put in over the years, she came a world class winger. And you know, we've had such huge success while we played together, and I have to say she was a cornerstone in that success. Love playing with you, and I wish you all the best.
Hi, Ciara Griffin here. Ali Miller is a person who encompasses hard work, dedication and fun. She gives everything to the jersey she's wearing and always drives those around her to be their best. She was someone who I always look up to and always will look up to, and she's always there to answer a question or even just check in to see that you're okay. Ali is going to be greatly missed around the place, and we really miss her charm and her humour and her all laugh, but more importantly the Ali stories. But look, maybe in retirement she might learn how to make people a cup of tea for a change rather than it always being made for her. Look, Ali, all the best in retirement, and we wish you well. All the best from Junior and all the girls.
So there you have it. So Niamh Briggs, Ashley Baxter, Lynn Cantwell, Sophie Spence, Philip Doyle, Fiona Coughlin, Grace Davitt, Senna Niupu and Ciara Griffin, who all wanted to send you good wishes.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear those kind words.
So you still can't make tea, apparently?
Oh no, I'm well able to make a cup of tea, but I had a great ability to make people, when they were already on the way up, you know, maybe to get something, I'd be like, well, you're up there, just, you know, might grab me a cup of tea. And they made me tea for years without realising what they were doing.
Keane Tracy in The Independent wrote a very impassioned plea to the IRFU to keep you involved in some way, shape or form. What's the next chapter for you?
Well, at the moment, like, obviously I'm a full time teacher, and it's funny because it's only the last week or two that I've been going to work and just coming home, and you wonder how you ever fit it in, all that, those sessions and those camps. And for the moment I'm just going to focus on that. And I promised my TYs today couldn't understand, why are you retiring? They just couldn't understand it, like, why and when did you decide? So I said I would give them a shout out, so just so they won't be giving out to me in school, hello TYs in a Thai college. So at the moment it's going to focus on teaching and take it easy for the next while. And okay, I'm still going to be playing club rugby with Belvo and provincial rugby, so that's going to keep me busy for a while. Getting married in August, which is another big thing. So for now, just focus on that. But yeah, I'd like to possibly coach or mentor athletes. To me, when I was playing, it was always important that I help people. Always. I never wanted to, when I left, didn't matter what I won, I didn't want to be seen as that person that stood on people to get where they were going, or were rootless, or not rootless. I mean rootless in a bad way. Obviously you have to be rootless, but that was really important to me, that I was that type of person, I suppose, in my nature. So, I don't know, mentoring younger players or coaching would be something I'd love to do.
Okay.
Can I just say it's been an absolute pleasure having you in as well tonight, Ali, and them videos were brilliant. And a special mention to the man you're marrying in August, because he sounds like a great fella, and look after him as well.
We've he's a good one. A
couple of good texts in. Carmel O'Connor, what a legend. Allison's contribution to Irish women's rugby has been immeasurable. There's one in as well from the staff in Johnston House, Oran and Nace, who looked after you when you were all staying there.
Missed that place.
Amazing team, special group of people. Shows what can be done when you've got the right mix. So thank you for coming in, and thank you for being a part of a great team that gave us some great days. So we wish you well.
Oh yeah, it was great.
With the next chapter. I'll give you one or two texts. Hooperman wants to Jack Byrne go straight into the midfield. Brian, Alan's 11, Alan Brown fit, would like to see him in behind McGuire.
He would have played actually. He's having a great season at Preston. He's injured, Damien.
If team is picked on form, not names, Westwood, Randolph, flip of a coin. McLean doesn't deserve to start, but will by default. No other wide players. Hendrick has been poor for Ireland. Wouldn't be surprised to see Judge instead of McGoldrick.
I don't think so. McGoldrick will play.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
Safe home, back down the road. Alan, I will talk to you
Friday
next time.
Pleasure.
Thanks to Andrew Dupuer. Thanks to Ronan Lawler. Connor Bean's on the way from all of us here. Till the next time, good night.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.